Hey, you want that to go?
Good morning, everyone. A trio of news takeouts this morning. The story we want to be on top of first, of course, is health care reform. In response to Senator Joe Lieberman, who has balked at the Democrats' so-called compromise, your colleague down there in Washington, Todd Zwillick, David Kirkpatrick of the New York Times, described what Harry Reid is doing as a reverse auction, lowering the bar until senators jump on board. Todd Zwillick, takeaway Washington correspondent, what's going on with the health care reform today with Harry Reid?
Yeah, I think Kirkpatrick's right, John. I'm describing this a little bit differently. I'm saying this bill is getting a little bit, a lot more aerodynamic so that it can slide through the Senate before Christmas. That's the imperative now, seems to be speed. Last night, the Senate Democrats met in a caucus. Yesterday evening around dinner time, this was the first time all the Democrats got together with Joe Lieberman after he said on television on Sunday that he didn't like the Medicare buy-in. We know he doesn't like the public option. And then it appears when they came out of this meeting that the Medicare buy-in is out, and it appears that the public option is out. I want to set the scene for you real quickly.
The Medicare buy-in, that's the 55-year-olds get to buy into Medicare, right?
Exactly.
Okay, go ahead.
They get to buy in to try to give them some public insurance. Max Baucus, chairman of the Finance Committee, came out of that meeting, an absolute swarm of us on top of him, to find out if the Medicare buy-in and the public option are out. Here's Baucus.
That's the direction we're heading toward. I do not want to say that categorically, but it's heading in that direction. Anything can change around here. But right now, that's how it looks.
So not even Medicare is a public option?
Not even Medicare is a public option. Now where this bill is headed is still a little bit unclear. Nobody's inside Harry Reid's head exactly what he's going to do. The Senate Democrats are going to the White House this afternoon to meet with the president, the mission here being to get this bill passed by Christmas. And there's some nuance going on in the Senate real quickly, John, that's important. I want to point you to Roland Burris, a liberal, who has said all along, he's been one of these people, I will only vote for a bill that has a public option in it. Right after this meeting last night, he got on the floor and said, I will only vote for a bill that has the goals of the public option in it. You see the difference?
Yep.
They're starting to move towards getting rid of this thing.
All right. Well, you've got the House and the Senate. Maybe there needs to be a special chamber just for Joe Lieberman. Thank you, Todd.
My pleasure.
Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent.
For our next takeout, we're going to go to Professor Gary Chastagner of Washington State University. And we are talking to this professor today because his nickname is Mr. Christmas Tree. Good morning, Professor.
Good morning.
You have been studying the Christmas tree for the past 30 years.
That's correct.
There's about 15 or so species of trees that we think of as Christmas trees, right?
Yes.
And your problem with them right now is that they shed needles all over the living room floor.
Well, certainly some species do, and a number of consumer surveys by the National Christmas Tree Association have shown that needle loss is a concern that consumers commonly have.
So how do you genetically modify these trees so they stop doing the shedding the needles?
No, we're taking advantage of the natural genetic variation that occurs within these species, and the key has been that we've been able to use a small detached branch test to identify trees that don't shed.
Gary, is it too much to ask that when you bring a plant into your home, you put up with maybe the shedding of its leaves?
Well, certainly some of it may occur, but in some cases it can be pretty severe, and we're trying to eliminate the severe needle shedding that can occur with some species.
Severe needle shedding means what constitutes severe needle shedding?
Well, a tree might have 200 or 300,000 needles on it, and if you had 10% of those fall off the tree, that would be pretty severe.
Okay, so when are we going to see these Christmas trees that don't leave a mess on the floor?
Well, some of them are already into seed orchards, which means that they'll be producing seed, and that seed will be available to growers to plant. And so within probably 7 to 8 years. In the meantime, consumers can display trees in water, and that's a very effective way to minimize a needle shedding problem.
Okay, Professor Gary Chastagner, Washington State University. Maybe next up is a natural tree that comes with tinsel and lighting already on it.
We can put a man on the moon. Why can't we get a tree that doesn't shed? Yes, I love America. Yes, indeed. Coming up, our continuing series, Business Takeout. Kelly Evans joins us, Wall Street Journal economics reporter. Good morning, Kelly.
Good morning.
So yesterday, President Obama met with bank executives and urged them to lend more. Today, the Federal Reserve is meeting. I thought the Fed was the lever that determined liquidity in the economy. Is it a little rusty over there at the Fed?
I
I don't think so. Well, today's the first of their two-day meeting, so we won't get the statement until tomorrow. They meet every 6 weeks. And even though we've seen a lot of improvement in economic indicators lately, they're not likely to take a whole lot of action here on interest rates in particular, you know, tomorrow and maybe not for, for another month or two, certainly into 2010. Now, the problem is that's because there's still a lot of fundamental weakness in the economy. Of course, unemployment is high and all of the various things that we hear about. But while they're sort of waiting for things to improve before they act, there is this sense from the Obama administration that they need to get out there and sort of say to those people, particularly who are among the over 15 million unemployed right now, like, look, we're working on this. We're trying to do something to help. We're trying to, you know, sit on the banks to lend, and, you know, we have your best interest. So in some ways, they seem to me kind of the PR face of what I do think is kind of a united front. But again, the Fed's independent. They will do whatever they want on this.
Although, Kelly, interest rates are so low, they don't have much of a lever there, really, to push the economy more.
Well, exactly. They don't have much of a lever in terms of interest rates to lower them much more and get things going, which is why they've started various programs over the last 18 months or so to get money out into the economy and encourage people to lend in other ways. And so it's likely that those programs could begin to wind down before they begin to raise rates because, again, if there's signs of bubbliness, say, in commodities or markets or something like that, and they raise interest rates in response, there's a danger that they hurt the real economy, that they then hurt lending and discourage those things they're trying to encourage.
Best guess, Kelly Evans, quickly, will the Fed support the dollar or leave it alone?
Tomorrow, if they don't take a whole lot of new action, it won't be a good day for the dollar, but that's not necessarily bad news for the U.S.
All right, Kelly Evans, Wall Street Journal economics reporter, with our last takeout. Coming up, Louise Story is going to continue our series, Life in Fine Print. Do you look at all the little financial fees that you are charged for everything in your bank relationship? We'll find out.